We pick it up, like Pastor Perry said, we're skipping around here, but we're at the beginning of the incident that spurred the man to confess Jesus last week and get kicked out of the synagogue. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Matthew Henry writes, "Christ is often found of those that seek Him not nor see Him. And if we know or apprehend anything of Christ, it is because we were first known of Him and apprehended by Him." It's amazing to me that Christ was with me and reaching out to me when I wanted nothing to do with Him. Okay? Have you ever been there? Yeah. It's amazing grace. Amen? I can't remember, and I know why I can't remember, how many times I was drunk and drove home, or was high and drove home, and had blackouts and I drove home, and I didn't kill somebody and the Lord didn't let me die. I know that didn't happen to any of you out there, right? Okay. But think about, maybe you were just in an accident, okay? Or maybe you've had COVID, okay? But do you see God's grace? He's watching out for us even now when we're not even thinking of Him. Could have been a bad relationship, okay? Could be anything. But God was with us then, okay? He was with us during those bad times when we were in the darkness. And He's looking for us. And I like this, I forgot my pointer. The picture up on top, there's a hand holding Jesus, and that's God the Father. But that's what Jesus does, isn't it? He reaches down, and the guy on the bottom is Rick, okay? Pulling me out of, that's not water, that's beer, okay? Verse 2, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And I love that picture there, okay? The Jews at this time believed that sin and sickness were related, even though it is contrary to Scripture. Remember the book of Job? Did he sin? No. Okay. Bad stuff happens to good people. Bad stuff happens to good people. Look at COVID. Okay. Some of the best people we know have had COVID, right? And some of the worst, like me and Pastor Perry, have not. Okay. All right. But it's... bad things happen to good people. All the time. All the time. And when we get to heaven, we can ask God about it, but I really don't think we're going to care. Because can we trust Him?
Yes.
We can trust Him. Amen? Verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed." Matthew Henry writes that they are sometimes intended purely for the glory of God. And you know, think about that, some of the bad stuff we've been through. Intended for the glory of God. It was intended for the glory of God. And the manifesting of His works. He was born blind that our Lord Jesus might have the honor of curing him and might therein prove Himself, Son of God, to be the true light of the world. Thus, the fall of man was permitted and the blindness that followed it, that the works of God might be manifest in opening the eyes of the blind. It was now a great while since this man was born blind, and yet it never appeared till now. There's many times in our lives where bad things happen and God allows it to draw us closer to Him, okay, but to bring Him glory, right? Look back at some of the stuff you've been through. Was God glorified through it? Yes, okay. For example, last week, Bruce falling off a roof. Everybody would say, man, that's a bad thing, right? Falling off a roof 38 feet, breaking your back and your legs. That's a bad thing. God used it for His glory. First of all, He saved Bruce's soul. And what's more important, Bruce's soul or his physical health? And that's the same with us, right? What's more important to God, our soul or our physical health and comfort? Our souls, right? The other one is in the Gospel of John. You remember they were walking by the seaside at the end in chapter 21. And he said, "Peter, you've been able to go where you want to and do what you want. But later, when you're old, people are going to lead you where you don't want to go. They'll lead you where you don't want to go. Go to the next one. And that's where he was led. He was crucified upside down, okay? But was God glorified by that? Absolutely. And mind you, this is the same Peter who denied Jesus three times. Do you see the change? That's supposed to transpire. We're supposed to be transformed. Verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Bob Utley says, this seems to refer to the period of the incarnation, the time from Bethlehem to Calvary, Mount of Olives. Jesus was here for only a limited time. His hearers must respond now to His message. And sadly, many of the Jews didn't recognize the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, right? They were blind, whereas the blind man came to see. Does this happen today? Yes, okay, all the time. And I believe we all have friends or family members that are blind to the reality of Jesus Christ, right? We pray for them. They're not aware of His kingdom or the life and light that He brings. It doesn't matter how much we talk to them. It's really hard to talk to them, right? Okay. And perhaps some of us that have had friends or family members who have died, and we know they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're left wondering and hoping, right? How many memorial services have you done like that, Pastor? See, when you die, when a Christian dies, it's sad, but it's a time of resurrection. It's a joyous time, which the world doesn't understand, okay? But it's really sad when you don't know. And I think this is part of the reason why I think Jesus tells us not to judge, okay? It's for us, okay? It's for us that we don't judge, all right? We go to verse 6. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word meant sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And I believe that's out of the movie The Gospel of John. And they really do a great portrayal of that whole incident, okay, in that movie. That's a movie you should have in your library, either Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. But it's a three-hour movie, but it's The Gospel of John. It's really powerful. Bob Ely writes, Siloam means the one who has been sent. This pool was used in the ritual of the Feast of Tabernacles. Saliva was a Jewish medical home remedy. It was not allowed to be used on the Sabbath. The Gospel records three examples of Jesus' use of saliva. By using this accepted, even expected method of healing, Jesus was physically encouraging this man's faith, but get this, also deliberately challenged the Pharisees' traditions and rules. Do you ever wonder why he did that? Because he didn't have to, right? I thought that was very insightful, okay? So this man submits to Jesus, though. He lets Jesus put mud on his eyes. And back then it might have been okay, but you know, if somebody said, you're blind and I'm going to put mud on your eyes, what would you say? No, it's okay. Do it without the mud, right? Okay. But in obedience to Christ's command, he lets him do it. And then he goes and washes in the pool of Siloam. So did this man believe in Jesus Christ? This man believed. He obeyed. He trusted Jesus and he went to the pool of Siloam and did as he was commanded to do. And look what happened. He came back seeing. Church, I am not saying that we do works for salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. What I am saying, and what the Bible is saying, is that the person who is saved, and that person who has true saving faith, will follow and obey Jesus. A person who is saved and who has true saving faith will give evidence to their salvation and their faith by serving the Lord. If we went to court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? Okay. Well, yeah. The other day I told, I think it was you, Pastor. I said, you can visit me when I go to jail. And I don't mean going to jail to do a service, okay? Because we're in a time of persecution and it's going to get worse, okay? But that's okay, because we win, right? Who's on the throne? Jesus Christ, right? But brothers and sisters, don't things go better when we obey Jesus? And what happens when we disobey Jesus? Boom, right into the wall. Boom, right into the wall. Oh, still don't get it, Lord. Boom, okay? I'm in jail. I still don't get it, Lord. Boom. I'm in prison. I don't get it, Lord. Boom. Okay. Then all of a sudden the light comes and I say, Pastor Robin was right. Okay. But things just fall into place. That song, I Saw the Light. Okay. That's, things just fall into place and you have life. We know what life is. Okay. Verse 8. Verse 8! His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked. Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claim that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. This is, it's so much like our society today, okay? The people obviously knew the man, okay? They might have given him an alms. They passed them every time they went to the temple. So they knew the man. He'd been begging in the same place for decades, okay? But isn't that our nature? We don't want to accept the miraculous. Our culture tells us certain things are scientifically impossible. Is science always right? No. Science once said the world is flat. Oops, mistake, right? Okay. They think that if it's not scientifically possible, we should be skeptical of miracles. And what's the first thing that happens when somebody's healed? They start looking to see if it's a fraud or what happened, right? They start looking for evidence to disprove it, okay? Sometimes even within the church, right? They don't want to see the miraculous, okay? Albert Einstein said, there are two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle, and the other is though everything is a miracle. As a man of faith, I choose to believe everything is a miracle. An added blessing to having this type of view is it makes life very exciting, makes it fun, and it makes it very full, right? Because you don't know what God's going to do next, right? And we've all seen that, right? We receive one blessing and then, woo, there's another one, okay? And the world thinks we're crazy, okay? That's fine. Ken McKinley says, why can't a person just put two and two together and come up with the truth on their own? There's an old saying that goes, seeing is believing. But you know, sometimes old sayings are just that, old sayings. The reality is, sometimes seeing doesn't equal believing. Sometimes a person can see something and still not believe or believe the wrong things. Does that happen today? Yeah. Some of you, if not all of you, have experienced this when you're trying to witness. A person can be shown the evidence, they can be shown the facts, they can be shown the truth, and still, despite all of those things, still refuse to believe with what those facts and evidence and truths are pointing to. And so it's an interesting thing when you encounter someone who has a belief that's not based on evidence or facts. And that's more and more prevalent in our postmodern culture. You don't need evidence or facts nowadays. It's just what you feel or what I think, okay? And we've all heard that from people, right? Or you meet someone who has a worldview or opinion that's contrary to the evidence or that's not based on the truth. It always makes me ask, why do you believe what you believe? How do you know what you think you know? Why do you hold this view, even though it's contrary to the evidence? Especially when something as important as eternity is at stake. We're in John 9 this morning, and we're going to see this exact sort of thing happen. All the evidence, all the facts, all the signs are pointing to the reality that Jesus is God, that He's the Messiah that God promised way back after Adam and Eve fell into sin. But in spite of all that, the Pharisees are going to continue to believe a lie. They are blinded to the truth. They could see the miracles and the signs and wonders with their physical eyes, but they did not believe. Maybe today we're blinded to the truth. You know, our culture is in the blinding business, right? They say, don't believe this, don't believe that, okay? And they're censoring everything now. They don't want to hear about miracles, okay? They don't want to hear Christians. So does that mean we shut up? No. First of all, it means we pray more, okay? We get on our knees. We really need to get on our knees, okay? But maybe we're blinded to that truth that Jesus is the light of the world and that when we accept Him, He gives us light and life. It's time to take the scales off and see that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins and rose from the dead to give us light and life. Who wants His light and life? There's a couple. Okay, that's good. You don't want it, huh, Fran? Okay, we'll leave you out. Okay. You know what I think would be, just came to me, Pastor, to do this text. Go around with mud and have people put mud on their eyes and then have them wash. Because we all need it, right? We all have to admit that we're blind, right? And you'll say, well, I see now. Well, yeah, we see, but we still might have a little dirt in our eyes, right? Because we see what we want to see, right? We're going to have an opportunity to pray to receive the light and life of Jesus Christ. But I think we're going to have to start by admitting we all might be a little blind, right? We all might be a little blind. Verse 10. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. I love this man's simple testimony about Jesus, right? He just stated the facts. This is what happened, and it was Jesus. Later he gives Jesus the glory and worships Him, even getting kicked out of the synagogue, okay? But when we give our testimonies, we don't need to embellish them, okay? And we definitely don't want to brag about some of the bad stuff we did in the past. And I know people who go to CR have heard that. And that's stuff we want to forget. Okay. What?
The bad old days.
It's the bad old days. And it's amazing to me that people talk with pride about some of this bad stuff they used to do. I'm ashamed of it. You know, the stuff I did, I'm ashamed of. So, we don't need to embellish. We simply tell the truth of who and what we were before and who we are now. Our changed lives will tell the rest. That's the testimony. I once was blind, but now I see. And they'll say, yeah, Marcella was blind, but now she sees. You know, to see the changes. And I'm going to embarrass you. Since you've come to me, I'm so happy that you're so happy all the time now. Because I don't know if you were checking us out or whatever the deal was, but you're getting some healing and it's good to see you smile and laugh here, okay? And that's Jesus, okay? That's Jesus. Not the brilliant preaching, okay? It's Jesus, okay? So, but the question for us today is, do we accept this man's testimony, okay? And by the way, a thought also came to me. You got to figure this guy probably for 30 years was blind. Do you think maybe he got mad at God sometimes?
Yeah.
But he was still open to receive, right? So that gives us hope for people we're praying for, right? Spurgeon writes, endeavor to realize that Jesus Christ is a living and acting person. He is not dead. He has risen long ago, being alive and exalted to the highest heavens. He is clothed with infinite power and majesty and is mighty to save in a spiritual way. He is among us still, working according to His gracious nature. To us, He is not an absent Christ nor a sleeping Christ, but He is doing still what He did when He was on earth. Only now He works in the spiritual, and I'm going to add, and the physical, okay? As once He worked in the physical world. He is now present to save, and present to open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Present to bless you to whom I speak. Understand that He is looking upon you at this moment, standing in front of you. His shadow is now falling upon you. He is considering your case. Are you praying? He is hearing. Has it scarcely got so far as a prayer? Is it but a desire? He is reading the desire as it is passing like a shadow across the camera of your soul. He is thinking upon you. Almighty God is thinking upon us, okay? At this moment, is He able to say the word that shall take the film from your eyes and let in the everlasting light of grace? Do you believe this? If so, then cry to Him, Lord, grant me to receive my sight. So, do we want Jesus' light and life? Well, let us pray. Go to the next one. Next one. Oh, I guess that'll work. Okay? That'll work. Actually, yeah, that'll work. Okay? This is going to be our prayer for today. Okay? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Okay? So let us pray. Repeat after me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.